I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
On the last.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate again our song service this morning. Let's open our Bibles now to the book of Exodus and chapter 12. I'm going to have to mix our two celebrations a little bit in the message today, but they mix very well because all of them have to do with Passover. So we're celebrating again Passover, which began last night. The Bible says in God's creation account, like six times, maybe seven, that the evening and the morning were the first day. Consequently, God counts days starting in the evening. We count them starting at midnight. I don't know what that's about again. Notice again that the evening is the beginning of God's day, and that's how he counts it. And on the 14th day of the month, we'll see here, is there Passover celebration that we are celebrating on this day. But also the Sunday before Easter, and Easter, as I said before, falls right after Passover. So whenever Passover falls in the week, again, the next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and that's why it moves around. The Hebrews are on a lunar calendar, and we're on a solar calendar, and so Easter moves around. This is what, late in the year, I think they said, for Easter. And that's because Passover falls on a Sunday, and so Easter has moved a whole week to be on next Sunday, so that it is the Sunday after Passover. And notice also that Passover, as I said, is the month of Abib in the Bible, is the first month of the year in the Hebrew calendar, and that's the first new moon. You can actually figure this out. The first new moon after the solar equinox, I think it's called, in the springtime. And you just take a calendar, or a solar calendar, I guess, and watch for that. And the amazing thing to me is that you can then backtrack that and find out the month of Abib all the way through history, all the way back to Moses in 1492 when he was told to do this. That's 1492 BC, of course. And so notice again here that we have a God who is remarkable at following a calendar, and I want that to be the emphasis today, because again, there's so much confusion even about Easter. There's a false thing called Good Friday, but built there by Roman Catholics who didn't read any Bible, didn't know anything about the book of Exodus when they established, again, the Augustinian theology of how to build a Catholic church. And so notice here again that we're going to look at a calendar a little bit here today from God's Word. So we're in the book of Exodus and chapter 12. I've got a little bit of voice left, and so let's go ahead and use it to read some scriptures. Exodus and chapter 12. I know you just got sit down, and you look so comfortable that I'm going to have to say, tough beans. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hallelujah. Exodus And chapter 12, let me get my notebook out here so I can kind of follow a plan. Exodus and chapter 12. Let's read down through the first six verses. You follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy word. Exodus chapter 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, in the tenth day of this month." Let me say it again in slow motion. "In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him that and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." And verse 6. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for the picture. Thank you for its fulfillment. Thank you that we could be students of your word today and understand some things about our Passover lamb. In the name of Christ, we'll praise you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love this portion of scripture. I love this topic. And again, looking at it here, the things to me just have rung so clear as I put this onto a calendar. And I kind of wish everyone did. I have a pastor, an elder pastor that I loved, and he asked me to come down and to preach in his church. They're having a special Good Friday service. And so, and I've talked about these things to him before, and a couple other evangelists that come through town. And so I said, yeah, I'd love to. And so I went down and I preached this message particularly, but more particularly looking at all the events that demonstrated that Christ was not crucified on Good Friday. Unfortunately, he had held very staunchly to the position that he was crucified on Friday, and he did not really spend 3 days in the tomb, or in the earth, as it were. And so he gave me great grace to come and preach, and I preached and contradicted everything the pastor of their church had taught them. I kind of snuck out afterwards, not answering any questions. And interestingly, he never had me come back to his church to preach again. Again, very clearly from scripture here, as we look at this, and with a calendar in mind, we can see again that Christ was crucified on the 14th day of the month. So let me go ahead and say, whatever you want to argue about, whatever you want to disperse up again about which day of the week it was, make no mistake that it was on the 14th. And make no mistake that God put this in the Bible very carefully and in a very structured manner so that His Son would fulfill everything that was needed to be the Passover lamb. Hold your place here in Exodus. We'll be back. But turn over into the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and look with me at chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you already know, I've covered this, that in Corinth, they were, again, a very carnal church. And here's Paul writing to them. If he's in chapter 5, he's covering the fifth thing that's wrong with them. And there's 16 chapters here in 1 Corinthians. So there's a list of 16 things that was in this very carnal church that he was trying to get straightened out. And so look with me at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, your glorying is not good. Verse 6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. We'll talk about leaven here in a minute. As ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed therefore for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we'll see this much here, that God has a purpose in every one of these things that he instills in this Passover celebration, where Israel is being pulled out of Egypt. That's a picture of their redemption, being pulled out of bondage there in Egypt. And so here in this accounting in chapter 12, you'll notice an emphasis on the two things. Again, the Passover, and we're celebrating that on this calendar day, and also the celebration of Palm Sunday. And so, again, notice that that falls on the 10th day of the month. That's when they were to separate the lamb from the rest of the flock. And again, the tradition has it that they would literally take it away from the rest of the flock and keep it up in a separate pen, a separate area. And if they didn't have that much separate, they would often bring it right into their home and they would live with this Passover lamb for these 4 days, the 10th through the 14th, and then they would slay it as their Passover lamb for the meal, for the Passover meal. And so notice again here the emphasis on the calendar days, and again the emphasis that, hey, this is the first month of the year for the Hebrews. Again, now the Hebrews have, after the Babylonian captivity, they came with a reformed calendar again, and that's not even called the month of Abib anymore. But here, you'll notice again in the Bible, four times it's talked about here in Exodus and Deuteronomy, it is the month of Abib, the first month of their year. And here, on the 10th day of the month, let's put an emphasis on that. Hold your place again here in Exodus, because we got to come back. But turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 12, I'm thinking. It's interesting when we look again at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that ministry, you'll notice again that there's more written about this last week of Christ. Acts chapter 1, I believe it is, calls it the week of Christ's passion. Anybody know what a passion is? What is a passion anyway? I happened to look that up this week. And the passion is something that we feel strongly in our mind. And so the passions would be like love and joy. For grief, again, is a passion. This is called the weeks of Christ's passion. And again, this week right here, his last time from the triumphal entry on that Sunday coming into Jerusalem until his crucifixion, everything is documented in great detail. Not only that, there's more written in the New Testament Gospels about these 4 days than there is any of the other time of Jesus' teaching. That's amazing to me. And so we're in John chapter 12, and notice again that therein we've only got, well, halfway through the Gospel of John. And so John chapter 12 begins this way. Then, 6 days before the Passover. Let me say that again in slow motion. Then, 6 days before the Passover. The Passover was on the 14th. 1 day before would be the 13th. 14 take away 1 is 13. 6 days before would be 14 take away 6, which would be... It's okay to answer now. 8, okay. And so, notice again that here we are, 6 days before Passover. The Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus... Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which was... had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, John is writing here, the Apostle John. He's the last one. In fact, here it is, probably 30 years later. And John gives insights and details to the timing of all of these events that the other apostles didn't give, that Matthew didn't give, that Mark, again, John Mark, the companion of Peter, did not give, that Luke, Dr. Luke, the companion of Paul, did not give. And so, again, and that's because they wrote very close. And again, if they gave the name, for example, if they gave the name of the disciple that swiped off one of the soldier's ears, there could have been a recompense that came upon that soldier. And so they leave that name out until a little bit of time has passed. And John here, again, in writing, gives, again, a clarification of timing as we look at these things. And so it's important to watch the dates go by, even through his accounting. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And so there we have, I think it's on a Friday, we have that day here, 6 days before the Passover date. And notice again that we're given some insights about this. And let me throw in one more, and you can make a study of this. This Mary, I don't think that was a new experience for her. I think if you go back in your Bible, you'll find out that there was a Mary out of whom was cast 7 devils, and Mary Magdalene by name. And again, I believe, again, as we read that account, that this is the same Mary. It's a parallel. Everything that she did back then, she does again here, and that's not a coincidence. And so Mary again comes and rehearses her salvation day and what she did back then. And now she does it here for his anointing. That'll take a little study on your part. But I love it, again, and understand that it's the same Mary. Trouble with the Bible is there's so many Marys again, sometimes it's tough to keep them all straight, and that one there can cause confusion. Verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. If that was a Friday again, that they consulted together because there was a holy convocation there on the Sabbath day, on the Saturday, and that's where they got together and they consulted to put him to death. Verse 12, on the next day, that would be the Sunday that we're celebrating here today, the Passover Sunday, and here more particularly, Palm Sunday. On the next day, this accounting is given also, and it's good to read them all in parallel, in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19. Given three accountings here, and I'm only going to read the one this morning. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, meaning save now, I believe, O Lord. Verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye now, ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And so here in this accounting, we see again that Jesus was escorted into Jerusalem. And again, the portrayal is that on the 10th day of the month, Jesus is escorted in and separated from the rest of the flock. They would then keep that lamb up in Exodus 12 for from the 10th through the 14th when they would slay it in the evening of that time. And so again, here we see that Jesus is kept and he is observed that he is the spotless lamb. I love the accounting that we're going to walk through this week. I'll read each day as it occurs in my own devotions. But boy, I'd encourage you to do the same. Everything that's done is recorded very succinctly in all four Gospels. And again, there's in fact, I got a chart up here on the slides going by that looks at putting together all the chronological events of everything that Jesus did. And I think I got a copy of that up on our webpage as well. That chronology of events that were done, and again, I pulled most of it out of Schofield, but I had to fix Schofield because Schofield believed the Catholics again and thought maybe that there was a Good Friday when Jesus was crucified. And so when you fix that date and line it up with scriptures, you got everything that happens to him on Sunday. Here on Sunday, let me just walk through some of the events. Here on Sunday, he goes into the temple, and there he clears out the temple. And again, he takes a scourge, and he clears and throws over the money changers' money, the tables, and he clears the temple. He goes and he stays out of town here in Bethany, and then he comes back on Monday. And when he comes back on Monday, you'll remember he goes to a tree and expecting to find figs on it and finds none, and he curses that tree. Then he comes into the temple, and lo and behold, all the money changers are back in the temple, and you find again in your chronology that he overthrows the tables again and throws them all out. And the Pharisees and the lawyers, they're all mad and saying, what authority? You don't have the authority to do this. And so they, the as this week goes on, they get madder and madder at the Lord Jesus Christ for his authority as he demonstrates himself as the spotless Lamb of God. And so and he teaches. The Bible says, and he was in the temple early in the morning every day teaching. And we have the teachings, and we can figure out which day they fall on, and all the teachings that he gave during this week that we're going to walk through here in front of us. And the next day he came, and that would have been a Tuesday. So he came in on Tuesday, and Peter looks at the tree, and it's all withered away, and he says, whoa, listen, there's a day separation, those two events. He cursed it on Monday. On Tuesday, he saw it. And then the next day would have been the Wednesday, and the Wednesday events, he fills the calendar with his teachings. He's at the temple early in the morning each of these days, and then on that Wednesday, they go out and prepare a place for them, the disciples, to observe the Passover meal. And so again, the next day would be the 14th. There is a preparation for the Sabbath, for the day, Passover day, and that's again where they're preparing for the killing of the lamb, and again the sacrificing. And so the next day would have been the day after they had their Last Supper, as it were. And he was taken then in the middle of the night, put on trial, and brought back the next day, and they said, crucify him, and they did. And so, again, the events that unfold this week, listen, they're precious, and they're recorded. And, again, I got so mad at my hero. I love C.I. Schofield. I think he was a genius. He did not have a computer to look up word searches to find words in the Bible. He did it the old-fashioned way. He read his Bible through three or four times a year and made his cross-reference checks over his lifetime. And so, again, C.I. Schofield, when he put together the timeline, he said, listen, it don't work out. Somewhere he had to have a day when he did nothing. And so he and his chronology says, okay, then there's Thursday, he did nothing because we can't find anything to fill that day. And everyone knows because the Pope told us that he was crucified on Friday. And so, but when you take away his ignorance there and say, no, there was no dead time, there was no day when he did nothing except took a day off here in his week of passion. No, again, he was crucified on the 14th day of the month, exactly in the chronology. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus. Again, I spent a lot of time just detailing that over and over again to a lot of pastors. The thing about pastors is once their mind's made up, their mind's made up. And it isn't just pastors. People are like that. Once your mind's made up, getting it fixed, once you got something crooked in your mind, to have the Bible, even the Bible, come back and straighten it up for you can be a challenge for some of us old Christians as well. And so here in Exodus in chapter 12, we left off reading there between 6 and 7, where they took the blood. They were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts, and on the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 7. Verse 8, and they shall eat it in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden. It shall eat sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs with his pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste It is the Lord's Passover. This feast and these rules are rehearsed no less than four times as we read through Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy there, as we cover again, over and over again, the importance of this Passover feast and all that it portrays. And I'd like to, again, just take a minute here and emphasize the importance of unleavened bread. Notice again that they were to have a feast of unleavened bread. It began on the 15th day, and it began with a holy Sabbath day unto the Lord. Listen, I don't care what day of the week Jesus was crucified on, the next day was a Sabbath day. It doesn't have to be a Friday like the Catholics read in their Bible. Well, if the next day was a Sabbath day, it had to be Saturday. No, that's not true at all. The next day was a Sabbath day, no matter what day of the week it fell on. The 15th of the month of Abib was always a Sabbath day. And that's true of all of the holy feasts of God. When they follow a calendar date, they have a Sabbath day that might fall in any day of the week. And so here, this feast of unleavened bread, and notice it is unleavened bread. Leaven is a portrayal of sin. Leaven is a portrayal of compromise. Leaven is, again, throughout the Bible, leaven again is that portrayal. And when the woman takes a little leaven and hideth it in the lump, and that leaveneth the whole lump, again, that's talking about the church. That the church ends up filled with sin. And so we see the picture. When it comes to Pentecost, then they were to have a leavened bread. It was okay to put leaven in their bread when they did their Pentecost celebration. And certainly to understand that's during the wheat harvest. And again, when they did that, again, it was a portrayal that God laid out that, hey, when the church age comes, there's going to be sin in the church. And if you think that's not true, again, you don't have to look very far to understand that, hey, there is sin in the church. And there is apostasy. There's agnosticism. There's even atheism. And again, seeing what's going on in churches today, understand that the church, as it were, became the Laodicean church, and it is riddled with sin, even as we observe it today. And so that's the picture of leaven. Notice we're not to have that in our life. And notice that certainly Christ did not. Christ had, there was no leaven in the Passover lamb or in the whole Passover celebration. And so for those 8 days afterwards, after the Passover, the next 8 days was to be a feast unto the Lord, and then they were to have another holy Sabbath day. And so these Sabbath days fall on weekdays as well. And again, when I put together my calendar, it's, to me, it's as obvious as anything that there was a Sabbath day. Christ was crucified on a Thursday. The next day was a Sabbath day, Friday. And the next day was a Sabbath day, Saturday. So there's two Sabbath days in a row, and that would keep the women from coming to the tomb to dress the body of Jesus with the spices. They couldn't do it on the Sabbath day because, it, as John calls it, it was a high Sabbath day. And they couldn't do it again on the next day because it was Saturday. So the first time they showed up at the tomb was on the first day of the week. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. When I got that sealed in my head, I could go back to the account in Luke and find out, hey, don't you know that all these things were done 3 days ago? And again, count it back. 3 days ago was not Friday. 3 days ago was on a Thursday. And so when we're looking at the Bible, boy, let's just believe what we got and be careful about it and understand this much, that God's pretty particular about his calendar. These things that he put in about a Passover lamb, a Passover feast, are portrayals of what his only begotten son would go through. And he is a stickler for details. And he doesn't miss a thing. So these things are forecast. Let me throw in another thing here, that when the lamb is done, notice, or killed, and the blood is put on the doorposts of the house that you're in, listen, that's a portrayal of salvation. When Jesus on the cross says, "It is finished," it was finished. Your sins are bought and paid for. They are covered. And God didn't die just for the elect, as some denominations teach us. He died for whosoever will may come. And again, when he died, he paid the sin debt for all sin. He paid the sin debt for the whole world. And so the sin debt is paid. The price of condemnation of sin has been paid for all mankind. But again, all mankind has not come to a place where they applied the blood to the doorposts of their heart. And again, that's the important step that's in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you've got to call upon the name of the Lord. That's putting the blood on the doorposts of your heart and purchasing individual soul salvation. And so again, the price is paid. The Passover lamb was selected. The price was paid. The resurrection was complete. But again, it's not yours until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a tremendous picture. And don't miss it as we walk through this week. There's so many scriptures about it. I'd read again here through Exodus 12 and look at the whole Passover feast. In Deuteronomy's again, the whole Passover feast and the explanation of it all. And then just get that again in with the triumphal entry of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll read through them yet again this week. And then on Monday, what he did on Monday. How he woke up early in the morning. If some of you have trouble waking up early in the morning, I'd suggest that you might want to try it this week anyway and get in the scriptures. And this week, again, follow the life of Christ through his week of passion. And fall in love with him all the more this week especially. And then we'll get back together next week and we'll celebrate, Lord willing. If we don't celebrate it with him in glory, we'll celebrate it here. Look at again at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Father, praise you. Thank you for the Passover lamb. Thank you for the price that was paid. Thank you, Father, that we can read through these scriptures and not muddy them with our fingerprints, but just to, again, glory in your works and what you did, your timing, your sequence. And, Father, that we could, again, just rejoice that we're not under condemnation. And thank you, again, that we could rejoice that our names written down. And we'll give you all the praise as we walk through the week with you, with your Son, in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. There should be a song in our book that says there's a new name written down in glory. Let's see if we can find that and we'll dismiss with that. It's good to have your name written in glory, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John. It is better to have that than it is to have power over the devil. 349. What's the title in there?
There's a new name written.
Oh, okay. There's a new name. 349 in your Bible. Let's stand. I can't find a guitar chord, so we'll wing it. I was once a sinner, but I came. Wait a minute, let's sing it out together. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardoned to receive from the Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Last verse. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, that joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Lord, bless you for being in church today.